Good morning. Thank you. Good morning and welcome to Thursday Morning Roundtable. My name is Sandra Barrett, and on behalf of University College of Syracuse University, I welcome you to today's program. I want to remind you up front that we are taped by WCNY-FM, so if you want to listen again or if you know folks who miss it, we'll be on the air on Sunday at 7 p.m., and next week we are also podcast or webcast on the WCNY.org website, just so you know. This week's topic, of course, is sales tax, but I want to give you a heads up on the next 2 weeks. Next week, Randy Wolkin, who is the president of the Manufacturers Association of Central New York, will be here. So we'll be talking about manufacturing outlook in Central New York and the economy in general, I'm sure. And the following week, to take you out to April 1st, we'll be talking with Michael Hooker, who is the director of the Onondaga County Water Authority. And I don't know about you, but I don't think I know a heck of a lot about what Aqua does. So I think that will be very interesting because it's certainly a very important agency. It's where we get our lifeblood water. Also on April 1st, for those of you who are available at noon and who are retired, semi-retired, or thinking of retiring, at the Institute for Retired Professionals, Dr. Tom Welsh, the head of pediatrics at Upstate, we'll be talking about the new Children's Hospital and the journey and how they got there. And you may recall, many, many years ago, that Dr. Welsh and at the time Dr. Roizen was here at Upstate, came and introduced or reintroduced the idea of a children's hospital that had been bouncing around for about 50 years. So that's at IRP on April 1st. But right now, it's my pleasure to introduce Vito Ciccioli, Executive Director of Syracuse 2020, who will introduce today's panel and topic. Thanks, Vito.
Thanks, Sandy. I'm not sure why I got this nod from Sandy to talk about this topic, but maybe it's a hot potato and she just doesn't want to deal with it. I'm not sure. But at any rate, somebody said that the art of taxation is like, I think it was Edmund Burke, you know, this liberal guy from England. You don't know your history very well. Okay. Said that that the art of taxation is like plucking feathers from the goose without the goose knowing it. The only trouble is, in this climate, in this environment, in this fiscal and economic climate, the goose is very much aware of what you're trying to do to them. And unfortunately, these gentlemen are in the middle of that storm. We're going to be talking about the distribution of sales tax in Onondaga County. And by the way, a little background, it is not usually the way governments and counties distribute sales tax in New York State. Onondaga County is a little different, and it does have this distribution formula that is unique in many ways. And I don't know if that's good or bad, to tell you the truth, but at any rate, it's something that's different. A lot of people, villages, the school districts, city of Syracuse take the money, which is not small amount of money. We're talking, I guess, in round numbers, anywhere from $270 million to $290 million. Last year, $270 million caused real problems for one of our guests in the recent county budget. But at any rate, the villages, the city school district, and the city the school districts, not the city school district, all the school districts, and the city of Syracuse take the money in the form of cash. Now that's real money. The towns, some of them, there's a hybrid, but most of them take it in the form of a credit against the county taxes. Then some of them, there's a hybrid. They take some in cash, and then they take some in some as credits. And there's a mix with respect to how the villages. The villages take it in cash. Some of them take it a little bit of a mixture. But at any rate, long and short of it, there's real money that we're talking about. It's going to be a hot issue. And our guests are Jim Reinhardt, who's on the county legislature. He represents the 6th district that's down in Skaney Atlas, if I'm not mistaken, and is currently on the County Fiscal Ways and Means Committee, the County Planning and Economic Development Committee. He has a very unique background because of the fact that he was on the village trustees, so he understands the village, and he was the mayor of the village of Skaney Atlas. Has a very good perspective regarding what this means to villages in our community, and so he's going to bring that in, I'm sure, into his discussion, and he gives him an appreciation that I think is very useful in this discourse. And so He's also, of course, on the county legislature, and somehow he drew the short straw on being on the point on this issue. I'm not quite sure how that happened to you, but you asked for it. Now, there's courage. It was a good thing. Also, we are joined by Jim Rowley, who was the town supervisor of Clay when we went through one of our more immediate and historic mergers with respect to the police department of Clay into the sheriff's department of the county of Onondaga. Not as a consequence of that, but that certainly was innovative, and it was a surprise to many of us who have been advocating for government modernization for some time, and is clearly used as an example of how things can happen in different fashion in our community. He also is now the chief fiscal officer of the county of Onondaga, and obviously now is really on the hot seat regarding this issue. Ken McChrisky is a veteran of five administrations in the city of Syracuse. He used to be tied with him for four, but now he's in the lead. You know, it's always nice. Somebody's got to be in the lead. You beat me, and that's just fine. And he actually was the first deputy mayor of the city of Syracuse in the Alexander administration, has had a variety of positions, currently is director of administration, has probably been, through three debates on sales tax that have occurred. Probably this is the third one that you're really more very integrally involved in. Certainly in 1990, you were actively engaged in this discussion regarding how it impacts on the city and what is fair share. A little bit of history. There used to be only sales tax being collected by a city. Presumably, we shared it and went to a countywide sales tax. And the history of it was that somehow in all this great debate, the city was supposed to remain harmless as a consequence of consenting to allowing property tax to fold their ability to raise property tax into countywide sales tax, which is certainly a more rational way to handle this. So given that, gentlemen, you are now up, and I wish you all the very best of luck. Start your engines.
Okay, thank you very much, Vito and Sandy. I appreciate being here and your attendance. Actually, this is my fourth go-around, because I was involved in the 1980 discussion also, so I'm a veteran here. I didn't start out a veteran in this discussion 35 years ago, but I am now. Just to give you some very brief overview, only a couple of minutes, I think it is important to take a global look at the history of how we got here. And as Vito has mentioned, the city was the only jurisdiction in the area that had a sales tax. We actually started a sales tax in 1948, a 2% sales tax on all sales within the city limits. And we predated the concept of a state sales tax, which didn't go into effect until 1965, and a county sales tax, which came into effect in the late 1960s. So local sales tax in this area started out as a City of Syracuse sales tax. And looking at some of the old records, we see that back when this first started in the early 50s, we were talking about a $5 or $6 million income to the city, 2% tax in the city, $5 or $6 million taking in. We've come a long way since then, and right now we're talking about a sales tax, a local sales tax of 4%, a total 4% sales tax countywide. Instead of bringing in $5 or $6 million, it brings in about $280 million each year. And think about it, we're talking about a possible 10-year agreement on $280 million a year. That's $2.8 billion being decided as we go through these deliberations over the next several weeks. And the recipients, again, originally only the city of Syracuse had money coming in from a sales tax. We now have 62 recipients of the local sales tax. We have a county, a city, 19 towns, 17 villages, and 24 school districts. And because of these, there's 62 people at the table, all of whom are getting money right now from the sales tax and are worried about whether that will continue. That's why you see so much interest, so much debate about this subject now. And again, originally $5 million or so to the city. Now the range of how much these recipients get is astounding. In 2008, the largest recipient, the county, got $143 million. The recipient with the lowest dollar amount was the Moravia School District, $915. So from $915 a year to $143 million a year. So a wide range of how much money each individual recipient gets, and a lot of recipients. I would just like to touch a minute on the city side of things, because I do represent the city on the Sales Tax Commission and have been through that. And we certainly are looking at this on a global perspective, but I do bring the city perspective to the table. When the countywide tax was first put into place in the late 60s, the first big agreement was a 10-year agreement covering the 1970s. The city's share of the total was 39%. Over the course of the years, as Vito had mentioned, every 10 years there's been a change, and unfortunately for city residents, the change has always been to the detriment of the city. We find ourselves now, instead of having 39% of this total pot, at 22%. So we lost almost half of our pot, from roughly 40 to roughly 20%. And because of the magnitude of the pot, the $280 million a year that we're talking about, this loss of 17 or 18 percentage points, again, just very rough approximation, each percent is worth about $3 million a year. By losing 17 percentage points from where we started off to where we are now, we lost about $52 million a year, in the $50 million range, if nothing had changed. Now, of course, no one would suggest we'll go back to 1969. But again, to give you a thought about the cumulative effect of all these decisions that are made every 10 years, that's where the city finds itself. So I just ask that as you think about this issue, please consider that there's a lot more to what should go into sales tax distribution, in our opinion, than just population change. We are the center of the education and medical community in this area. More than half of our property is tax exempt. We are required to provide police, fire, DPW services to everyone in the city, all the properties in the city, half of which, due to state mandates, are not taxable. Secondly, when you think about population, our daytime population swells by 62,000 people. There are 62,000 commuters who come in from outside the city into the city to work every day. So if you hear a number that the city's population is $130,000 or $140,000 or $150,000, that's the population of residents. But every workday, add 62,000 to that, because those are the people to whom we have to provide services. So there are legal issues also, which others can get into if you wish, as to why the city has certain priorities, but please just keep that in account as you hear the rest of the discussion here and over the next few weeks. Thank you.
Thanks, Ken. In the lineup here, I was placed in the middle to talk about the procedure that we're going to follow here, the path that we're using to review the current sales tax agreement, sharing agreement, and come up with a new sales tax sharing agreement that would start in January. I'm glad that Ken brought up the fact that the population has shifted in this county since the 1960s, and I think that is a lot of the reason why the sales tax has been shared in the past more with the outlying areas and less with the city of Syracuse, simply because the outlying areas have grown and represent a bigger portion of the county now than it did back in the 60s. But we're going to have that discussion as this process goes forward, I'm sure, a number of different times. But let me just, I'm going to be brief here so that we'll have time for questions. I'm going to talk about, the way this review process is set up. Typically, it's done by the county legislature over the past 30 years. At our February 5th meeting here this year, the legislature authorized a review committee with myself being the chairman of that committee. There are four other legislators on that committee, along with Mr. McCrisky, who is very experienced in representing the city, and Mr. Rowley, our chief financial officer from the county, who will be sort of our point person and numbers person throughout this whole process. This committee is authorized to make a recommendation back to the full legislature regarding a new agreement, as I said, that would start in January. We set up a series of meetings. They are committee meetings that are open to the public. They are not public hearings. There are five meetings that are currently set up. We've already had three. And we started on Wednesday, March 3rd, with an organizational meeting, and the subsequent meetings have been on all the Mondays this month in March, the 8th, the 15th, the 22nd, and 29th. On March 8th, at our second meeting, is when I asked for three options to be presented for consideration by the committee. And that's really when these negotiations and heavy discussions started taking place. Last Monday, we heard from our village mayors. Next Monday, we will hear from the city of Syracuse. I understand possibly the mayor herself, and also town representatives from throughout the county. And then on March 29th, we will hear from our school districts, their opinion and concerns with a new sales tax sharing agreement. After those meetings are finished, the review committee is authorized to hold another meeting, which we probably will, in order to formulate some sort of a recommendation. It may not come as a resolution or a strict proposal. It may just come as a recommendation with a series of points that would be passed back to the legislature. At some point in there, the legislature will formulate a resolution that hoped to be passed. The way this typically works is the resolution would then be incorporated into an intermunicipal agreement, as Ken had pointed out, between the county and the city of Syracuse. Within that agreement would dictate whether or not sales tax revenues would be shared with anyone else, and if so, to what extent. So that's how this would go forward, and of course in the end the Common Council would have to approve of the intermunicipal agreement. Again, it's pretty straightforward, and as we go forward there are going to be a lot of active discussion, and as we have put forth I think some pretty controversial options so far. So at this point I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Rowley.
Okay. As everyone knows, when you go to the store and you make a retail purchase, there's an 8% sales tax levied against your purchase. And half of that, 4%, is kept locally. The other half goes to the state. And as Ken pointed out, the budgeted amount for 2009 countywide is $279 million. And that represents approximately $6.9 billion in taxable sales and purchases. And again, that roughly $280 million is going to be shared, presumably, with 62 different recipients throughout the county. The 4% or local piece that's kept locally, there's two formulas that govern it. There's a 3% formula, which is the subject of negotiations right now. It expires at the end of 2010. And not to get too technical, but it is a complex, cumbersome formula. Everyone shares in the growth of sales tax under the formula up to a ceiling of 2%. If there was any growth over 2%, the county would keep that. If there's any decline in any given year, there's a hold harmless provision that incidentally cost the county $7.1 million in 2009. All the city and all the other municipalities and school districts were kept whole during this sales tax decline, during this economic downturn during 2009. And again, sales tax declined countywide 5.4%. So we ate that decline and ate all the other municipalities' decline as well through the current agreement. The 1% agreement is codified in state law. That expires. Well, we have to go to the legislature, the state legislature, every 2 years to get that renewed. And that expires at the end of 2011. A couple interesting facts on the sales tax in Onondaga County. Based on some 2004 data that was compiled by the state comptroller, Onondaga County is the second, was the second most generous county in terms of sharing sales tax with other municipalities throughout the state. And that's out of 57 counties. Today we keep roughly 46% of the sales tax generated in Onondaga County. And again, that would put us third, based on this 2004 data, as third most generous county. We're one of only five counties in the state that shares with school districts. Some of the largest counties in the state, Suffolk, Rockland, Nassau, they keep 90 to 100% of the sales tax that's generated in their county, just to put it in perspective. And unlike other levels of government, the county is forced to tax its residents to pay out-of-pocket costs for mandated programs that are directed, that we're directed to provide by New York State. We raised a combined total of $319 million, or we're proposing to raise a combined total of $319 million in the 2010 budget, local property taxes on the general fund. And that's a combination of both the sales tax, which the county shares roughly about $129 million, and property tax, which is roughly about $183 million. From that pot of money that we're taxing people, $157 million, or half of it, goes directly to pay for these mandated programs that the state of New York tells us we have to provide. And again, we're the only level of government that's forced to pay for some of these mandated programs. A good chunk of the balance of that money is to pay for things like the district attorney who prosecutes all the crimes throughout the county, and our jail and our Jamesville Correctional Facility. And finally, going back to 2000, if you look at the gap between sales tax collected and the mandated costs that we had to pay for, the gap was about a $20 million gap. We were short about $20 million, just relative to sales tax in 2000. In 2004, we implemented the additional 1% sales tax, bringing the local share of sales tax from 3% to 4%. So for the next couple of years from 2004, that gap between what we collected in sales tax and what we paid for mandated costs was pinched, and it got close to being even. That gap has grown since the middle of the decade to now where we're projecting a $28.1 million gap between the sales tax that's collected and the mandated costs, that $157 million that I told you about, that we have to pay for. So that's some of that's certainly how the formula works, and some of the perspective from the county side of the house that is a justification for taking and keeping more sales tax. And I guess from there we'll just open it up to questions.
Thank you.
Hi, consolidation. It seems this is the time to take steps towards consolidation. Could you just one example? I don't know how many towns have village governments underneath them. And it seems to me that would be a starting place to start to give localities an option. We'll give you X amount of money. You can decide what do you want to what go to the town, what go to the village. But it doesn't seem we're at the point we can afford these multiple layers of government. Can you comment, all three of you?
Some of us look at it similar to that, in that maybe consolidation should start with the city and the county and spread throughout the whole county. But to answer your question, not every town has a village, and there are a couple of towns that have more than one village. And under state law, the way that we currently share, the county shares sales tax with the towns by choice. And the county does not share directly with villages. Any town that receives sales tax that has a village in it, that village then, by state law, shares in that sales tax by its portion of the assessed valuation of that town. And that's how villages end up with sales tax revenues. Now, just quickly, it's interesting, and Vito had brought up an interesting question. Is our distribution formula bad? And I believe that it is. I believe it's time to change the way that we share sales tax completely. What happens under the current agreement is that everybody is shared with differently. The county shares with the city based on need. The county shares with the towns based on population. The town, and then the villages share based on their assessed valuation from that town, and the school districts, we share with the school districts based on average daily attendance. So it's a convoluted process, and what we end up with throughout the county because of that is that every entity in the county, the taxpayers pay a different county tax rate for the same services. The folks in the city pay a county tax rate. The folks in the town of Skaney Atlas pay a separate rate. The folks in every village, because the villages take their sales tax in cash, pay again a separate rate, and they're all different. So one of the things I would like to see happen in a new sales tax sharing agreement would be that we fix that and that every taxpayer in Onondaga County pays the same county tax rate.
Just to be complete, there's 5 of the 19 towns that don't have any villages associated with them. Manlius has 3 separate villages, and some villages are shared by more than one town. For example, North Syracuse overlaps between Cicero and Clay, and Baldensville overlaps between Lysander and Van Buren. So it gets even more complex.
I think just to comment on your question, I think it is true that the current method of distributing sales tax is almost an enabling mechanism to allow this to happen. Legally speaking, only the county and the city have the legal authority to do a sales tax and to keep money. So there is a sense of there is an entitlement situation where both the county and the city have that right from the state. All the other, well, if there were 62 jurisdictions I mentioned get the money, all the other 60 jurisdictions, 59, I guess, if you take the city school district and the county out of the equation, none of the other 59 jurisdictions have a right to impose their sales tax or have any legal claim on the sales tax pot that is generated through a countywide tax. So the current distribution mechanism, by providing it to so many jurisdictions, does enable them to get money that they may on their own would not be entitled to.
Can you elaborate on the process if the city council or the county legislature don't agree on the plan that the county comes up with?
Well, that's a good question. I'm going to take the high road on this one, and I did ask to chair the Sales Tax Review Committee, and it is my goal, and I'm determined that we are going to have a new sales tax sharing agreement, and we are going to find a way to agree on that. Well, basically what happens is if the county and the city don't come to an agreement, don't settle a new agreement by the end of this year, by December 31st, then the county would retain all of the sales tax starting January 1st. Mr. McChrisky can explain to you why that won't happen.
Well, again, I think you need lawyers in the room, not just us, but basically the city has a right to sales tax with it that's generated in the city at the same legal level as the county. Theoretically, we could both initially try to impose a 3% sales tax in the city, but the state says your total can't be over 3. So if the county tried to impose a 3% tax like it has now and the city had tried to impose its 3% tax, you'd start off with a 6% tax, which becomes illegal. So there are various provisions in the state law that say if you both tried to do what you're both legally able to do, you've both got to meet in the middle, and we could have a total of a 3% tax, half going to the city, half going to the county. And then there are also provisions of that default arrangement that talk about what would happen in the towns, in the suburban areas outside the city. So to answer your question, there are provisions of state law that says exactly what would happen. I don't think anyone wants it to happen, either from a financial point of view or from a political point of view, because we would like to reach an agreement with the county, as we have in each of the other 10 years that this has happened.
When the county executive was here, and also I've noticed in the papers, she spoke a great deal about the kind of unregulated urban sprawl that's been taking place over the last 10 or 20 years, which is a big shift in population without any kind of planning. So I wonder if you have any estimates of what percentage of the sales tax revenue has been siphoned off over the last, say, 10 years by the shift in population to these outer regions, and whether the sales tax distribution formula hasn't actually been encouraging this urban sprawl because of its availability. Maybe it's time to pull back on that, make it a little more costly for people to keep going further and further away from the city.
Is the sales tax distribution formula rewarding sprawl or contributing to sprawl, I think, is what percentage of it? Facilitating.
It's hard to make a connection between sales tax distribution and suburban sprawl. It affects how the formula is ultimately distributed, certainly relative to what Ken was talking about under a preemption scenario, based on the way we share right now, because this can be negotiated as well, but the way we share with the towns, there's an option in state law, but the way we do it right now is we do it based on population first with the towns, and then after the towns get their share based on population, the villages share in the town's pot based on their assessed value within that town. So I'm not so sure there's a direct connection between sales tax sharing and suburban sprawl. But at least in my judgment, would certainly affect how it's ultimately distributed.
My question goes more to the criteria that's being used to decide how much each entity gets. You seem to back into it by saying that part of the rationale why the county should get more is because there's a widening gap or a shortfall in tax revenue coming to the county. Is the flip side also true that if the economy was to change, and whereas now you're projecting still a good size shortfall in sales tax for county needs, that was to change and all of a sudden 3 years from now you've got an extra $50 million coming in, does that play into your structure of how you decide who gets what percentage or whatever the magic is? Whether it's 5 years, 10 years, whatever this plan is built for, is it affected by how much sales tax revenue actually comes in?
That's a good question, Ed. I think one of the common goals we have here is to work out an arrangement that would be done on a percentage basis so that as sales tax revenue increase when the economy turns around, we all hope that that starts next Monday morning or even as early as tomorrow. We don't know that, but I think to answer your question, I think that we would work towards an agreement that would be done on a percentage basis. Going back to what Jim said earlier, the current agreement has a provision in it to hold everybody harmless by the county, and what's happened because of the downturn in the economy, the last 2 years, will cost the county $14 million. To keep everybody at the same level that they've been. And thirdly, to answer your other question, what criteria does the county use in looking to retain more of its sales tax and sharing less? As Jim said, over the life of this sales tax sharing agreement, this 10-year agreement, we've seen our state mandated programs that the county provides for every taxpayer in the county, not only taxpayers, but every citizen. Medicaid, the jail, social services, children's programs that we have, the senior programs. There's a number of items, but these mandated programs, we've watched the overall cost of these go from approximately $90 million 10 years ago to next year, the estimate is $165 million. And the history shows that the county has always had the intent that sales tax revenues would be used for these types of things to offset countywide property taxes. So that's why the county, Ed, is going to be looking to retain more of the sales tax in the new agreement and share less with the others that are currently partaking.
Ed, I would just add one thing. We have done a poor job, perhaps as good as anyone can do, but we have done a poor job in estimating what will happen over the next 10 years, sometimes in the past when we've done these sales tax agreements, particularly in the 1990s when the city share was drastically reduced. It was phased down each year in the decade of the 1990s. it was based on a projection that the sales tax pot itself would grow 5% a year on the average each and every year of the decade of the 90s. So the people who thought, well, maybe the city was going to see a reduction were pacified in a sense, because it was said, well, your share might go down, but if we grow 5% each year, your actual dollar amount will be increasing. Well, unfortunately, that didn't happen. I mean, no one knew what was going to happen, but I think what we're doing now is we're avoiding these assumptions about what the pot's going to do over the next 10 years, so we don't have false expectations out there and disappoint people based upon projections that may not come true. So we're dealing with it almost as if it's a stable pot. We're not assuming that there'll be large increases to offset anybody's reduction.
Perhaps I missed it, but the numbers that you shared with us this morning, I think, related to sales in stores and establishments in the county. What about internet-type sales?
Yeah, internet's included there. Internet sales are included in retail sales that are reported in New York State. So those are covered under state law.
I've been struck with the interesting comparison of what's going on in terms of the pressure that the local school districts are experiencing. And relating that to some of the healthcare things, especially seeing some of the compensation of certain board members. And there's just a disparity there that concerns me. But in terms of healthcare and counties and municipalities, this is really out of ignorance. Is there any kind of sharing in terms of negotiating healthcare plans between counties, cities, towns? Are they all doing it on their own? Is there any advantage to them consolidating, at least in terms of healthcare?
Yes.
Okay, good question. Well, I know in the city we recently done solicitations for proposals in conjunction with our school district. So between the two of us, we have gotten quotes and have entered into agreements based upon a larger base that we're putting out for quotations. So we are not doing that with the county or any of the towns and villages, but between the city and its school district, which together probably are about 7,000 employees. We're doing it together rather than separately.
That's a good question. I know the county is self-insured, and then we use Excellus to administer our health care. But, you know, going through this whole process, and actually, the more I think about that, that's an excellent question. Why haven't we talked about that? So, see, you get up early, you come up with good ideas. One of the interesting things is that I discovered throughout this process so far is, you know, when the Chamber of Commerce talks about largest employers in Onondaga County, they never list the county. You know, you hear about who the big employers are. I always knew we were right up there. Well, the county's, you know, with 4,000 employees is second. But I always wondered if you took all levels, somebody else had brought up all these various levels of municipal government that we have and that maybe sales tax has encouraged or enabled to, you know, to continue. You add all the countywide municipal employees together. I was astounded that number is 8,000 employees in Onondaga County that work for government. So, you know, that's a good question. Maybe we should be talking about a joint health care arrangement for all of those employees countywide and something for us to look into in this process.
Right.
And very good.
Not to discourage anyone, but again, health care is subject to, negotiations with various labor groups, and that's the trick to doing some of this stuff. You know, some plans are very rich, you know, not to pick on anybody, but I know of a school district where the copay for a generic drug is $1. And I think for a brand name, it's maybe, you know, $2 or $3. That certainly wouldn't fit into our plan on the county level. Ours isn't that rich. So that's sort of the trick to doing some of these cooperative.
On the allocation formula, we've talked about population, assessed valuation, average daily attendance. Has there been any consideration to include the sources from where the sales tax revenue come?
The data is not very good because the state does not collect data on sales for each city and each township and each village. So there are estimates that could be made, but they're very, very rough. The only time that might come into effect under the current set of discussions is that if negotiations do break down and there has to be a preemption where the city would go its own way and not participate in this proposal, then the state would have to collect the information, city versus non-city. So really we haven't been at that point because we, again, aren't thinking in that direction.
Considering the fact that you are talking about such significant changes in the allocations, is there any reason why the agreement has to be a 10-year agreement? Is it tied to the census, or can it be for a few years or a couple of years and then, you know, implement these changes over time to be less of a burden, if you will, on, for example, the school districts?
The answer to that question is yes. It can be. It can be other than a 10-year arrangement. Typically, they've been 10-year arrangements, right, Ken, usually with one opener, an opening clause in there to review it, and typically they've reviewed these every 5 years. But, you know, the 25-year history, as Ken has said, has been that over the last 25 years, the sales tax revenues have been increasing, while things like social service cases have been declining, and even government fund balances have been increasing under good times. And unfortunately, during this review process, we're dealing with the exact opposite, where, as Jim said, the sales tax revenues are declining. We're looking at social service cases that are increasing again in leaps and bounds, and fund balances both at the city and county and other municipal levels. We're using our fund balances more to balance the budget, and that's just the reality of it. But no, the agreement, to answer your question, yes, can be for less than 10 years.
Now, since sales tax are regressive, affecting the poor a lot more than people who have more means, does your committee also consider property taxes along with this at the same time? And also maybe comparison with other places in the state that are wrestling with the same issues?
The committee is not considering property taxes at this point in time. That's really a decision that is made by the towns and the city, the individual other individual taxing jurisdictions and the school districts that are there. You know, we feel a property tax also is a regressive tax. I know in the city many of the property owners who have to pay taxes are of very moderate means. But no, our charge on this committee is simply to deal with the sales tax issue.
I have a question about the proposed airport authority, and if that were to come into being, what effect would that have on the city budget? Would it be a relief? And maybe the fact that it's a regional airport, maybe, I don't know whether the other counties in the area can also contribute to it.
Well, if you go back 20 years or so, the airport was like any other city operating department. If it ran a profit, it benefited the city taxpayers, and if it ran at a loss, the city taxpayers would have to subsidize it. But federal regulations put a stop to that, and the way they put it, you could no longer take airport revenue downtown. The airport was a self-sufficient entity run like a private business. If it made money, it essentially was required to lower landing fees for the airlines that use it or lower the terminal rentals that they charge for airlines to be in the terminal. So right now, the airport is part of city government, but there's no exchange of the profit and loss of the airport doesn't affect the city taxpayer. It affects the airline charges only.
Excuse me. I believe that Cayuga County is about a percentage point ahead of us, and aren't they 8.5% as contrasted with whatever we have? What is the cap on this? In other words, if your committee came to the conclusion that you would be able to, that you could make things meet if you had a 1% increase overall, would that be a possible?
It is possible that the county could do that with state legislative approval, but I'm going to give you a whole bunch of opinion here. My opinion is I would do everything to be opposed to that. We have been asked that. It's an excellent question. Along the way, when I've been out speaking in front of the school districts and the villages and the towns and the mayors and everybody, we've been asked, would you raise the sales tax to continue the status quo, to continue the current sharing agreement? And I believe that the current sharing agreement, as Mr. Ciccioli brought up in the beginning, is the way we share our sales tax is the core of the problem here. We need to change the way we're doing that. The world is changing all around us, and we see that costs are continually going up. If we tax more and continue the status quo, we won't get any change. Everybody will just buckle right down and get back to business as usual. The only way we're going to get leaner, get meaner, provide services, and reduce spending, the only way we're going to do that is to deal with the core of this problem. And, you know, the other thing that I had mentioned is that right now under the current sales tax sharing agreement, every municipality in this county, people pay a different county tax rate for the same services. And that's wrong. That needs to change.
I've got a technical question, and if time permits, a policy question. First one is, does the 1%, you know, you were talking about the 3%, does the 1%, is there a way of folding that into the discussion? I mean, the effective tax rate for sales tax is 8% in Onondaga County right now. Can you blend this together in this discussion, or does it have to occur separately?
No, I think it could be blended in part of the negotiations, but again, the 1% is subject to legislative approval every 2 years. That doesn't change. So, you know, we would just have to recognize that in any kind of agreement we come to with the 3%.
So, does, again, would it continue to have a two-year renewal or forever? Unless what, the state changes the rule?
And I they were talking about it, but there's no movement on it that I'm aware of.
Yeah, and the other question is a policy one. Have you thought about using the sales tax to reward, encourage, support the local governments to, you know, share services, perhaps merge? I'm sure Jim can talk about what that means in many cases. And it's very, yeah, I thought you might. But anyway, could it be used to at least do the support, the analysis, give them the time, and then actually reward those communities who are actually doing it, such as, let's say, Clay does their police merger, and they get a reward as a consequence of it?
Vito, my opinion on that is simple. Why should we have to pay for common sense?
Why should we have to pay for the opposite of common sense is the corollary, you know? And is there a way? I mean, that is a question. You know, when we talk about, you know, school districts and, you know, it's mom and apple pie and school districts and or whatever level of government. What I think there was a question, I'm not sure it was answered. What are the criteria that you are setting out to use to decide the formula or the decision? I mean, are there, you know, where are you starting? What is the basis? Or is that part of this process to figure out what the criteria are going to be?
I think we want to hear from, you know, I mentioned the series of meetings we have set up. I believe the mayor or a representative is going to come in front of the committee on Monday, the mayor, Mayor Minor, and present the city's view on this and the city's concerns and the city's needs. Then we'll hear from our town supervisors, representatives, and then we the following week we will hear from our school boards, and I'm sure they'll be out in full force. And after all of that, I think we will really get down to the nitty-gritty on where we start to go with this. And
my question is a follow-up to something that was mentioned on the other side of the room. As villages, for example, look at getting much less sales tax revenue, Marcellus, for example, over $300,000 less in sales tax revenue, how can the county help villages look at best practices to eliminate their police department, for example, as Town of Clay and Mr. Rowley did? Will there be strategies or procedures to help villages deal with the ramifications of getting a lot less money?
Well, you know, the county executive has an open door policy. Anybody who wants to come in and talk with the administration about consolidation or shared services or just how we can be more efficient, and it doesn't always have to be, you know, top down. It could be bottom up. You know, we could you know, get rid of you know, things that we do and maybe farm them out to the towns if it makes more sense and it's more cost effective to do that. So. You know, there's an open door policy relative to that, but you know, again, relative to the sales tax sharing agreement that we're in right now.
Yeah, well, we know that there's a pot of money at the state level to help levels of government, and I'm not sure, is it just towns and villages, is it just whatever? Could the county, for instance, apply for a pot of money that would be there to for the villages and towns to, you know, kind of an overall assistance program, technical assistance program to work with the towns and villages?
We certainly could if there's a pot of money available. Right, and I'm not sure the status of that program, certainly in the current environment we're in, but I will check on that and pursue it.
I wanted to ask you, you said that one aim might be to have all county taxpayers paying the same amount because everyone gets the same service. But I may be wrong, but do all towns and villages have their own police department, or do some towns and villages actually rely more on the centralized sheriff's department? So, you know, I'm trying to figure out under what basis you believe that that would be fairer than the way it is now. And a second question, because there's not a long line, in terms of how this sales tax formula affects urban sprawl, if in fact, you know, the school districts were eliminated from sales tax improvement, it would in fact raise the property taxes and other stresses on the suburban school systems and, you know, create more incentive for people perhaps to consider it being more economical to live in the city of Syracuse, if, you know, with their school children. So two questions.
Well, I believe that if the county shares less sales tax revenue with the schools, that it's up to the school board then to make their appropriate choices. You know, enrollments in the school districts, believe it or not, in all but the city school district enrollment is up. Throughout the rest of the county, enrollment is down. And I think at any level of service, when you have, you know, less recipients, then there should be less spending by the board. Now, the reason I would be forward and say that cuts should be made if there's less revenues rather than just immediately raising people's taxes is we did that at the county level last year. We had a huge multi-million dollar budget gap that we dealt with, and we did not raise county property taxes. We consolidated several departments. We closed a wing at Hillbrook. We eliminated duplication of services. We did have layoffs. A number of things that we went through, we used up a number of fund balances, money that was just sitting there doing nothing, so that we didn't have to raise property taxes. And I think that all levels of government need to start looking at that. We have to survive. We have to cut spending. We have to restrict spending. We have to not spend. Because if we spend money, we have to raise taxes. And if we don't spend money, then we don't have to raise taxes. It's that simple.
Oh, the question was about that there was a statement made that if there was one county property tax rate, that would make sense because all citizens receive the same sales tax, I'm sorry, sales tax formula, but the question is, aren't there differences in the amount of services? For instance, some towns rely on the county for their police services, and so would there be a difference, differential in that? Or is that?
You know, in terms of how sales tax is shared, but there's certainly all over the board in terms of what services villages and towns provide. You know, some villages have a police department, some don't. Some have very big police departments, some have relatively small ones, and the same applies for the towns. But there's no consideration for that, at least not now anyway, in terms of what we're discussing in terms of a new sharing formula.
You mentioned... Just very quickly, Sharon, on your question about the school districts, keep in mind that whatever happens to the school district pot, the school district that's affected the most is the city of Syracuse, because we have 25% roughly of all the students in the county, the largest school district. So anything that adds money to the school pot benefits the city school district more than any other. So as far as an incentive of where to live, if the school pot is eliminated and taxes go up in the suburbs, it would be the same pressure in the city for the school district side here.
And real quick, if I could just put schools in perspective, you know, we spend countywide, including the city, $1.2 billion on secondary education. And the sales tax that we share with the school districts is 1% of that revenue stream, $16 million. So that's what we're talking about.
You know, quickly talk about numbers that you learn. I was astounded to learn that in Onondaga County, the school districts tax our property for over $550 million a year. That is almost twice what the county taxes property for. And total school budgets, as Jim just mentioned, in Onondaga County, $1.2 billion. I mean, you know, we're all supportive of education. You know, I'm not making a case against education, but how far can you go with that?
When someone asked about consolidation, you mentioned that you would prefer to start with the city and the county. If that were possible, what would be the ramifications for the process with the sales tax and the distribution of the sales tax? And would anybody be better off?
Well, I brought it up, so I think that before we can start pointing the finger at everyone else, the city and county does need to start to consolidate departments. We have this thing that Ken will probably talk about in a second called the abstract, where the city and county trade back and forth, sort of a tally sheet that we trade back and forth, expenses over shared services and departments. And I think, you know, that worked well for a number of years. I think that's something that needs to change. You know, county services are being provided in the city, so I think that there are things that we can do together. I've thrown out some ideas. I mean, you know, they're just very, very general, libraries, parks, highway department, DPW, policing. You know, it's easy to just sit here and throw it out there, but there are, you know, you have city police and then you have county sheriffs and et cetera, et cetera. But we need to start moving away from the old ways of doing things and think about things regionally. And you know what, this has spurned some talk. There have been meetings between the executive side and city administration, and we are talking about that several times a week now. So, you know, I'm very hopeful.
Ken McChrisky, Jim Reinhart, Jim Rowley, thank you very much, and good luck.